You're listening to Feminist Frequencies. Last week, we talked about WHER, an all-girls radio station in Memphis, Tennessee in 1955. This week, we're going to continue along with that pattern and talk about one of the women of WHER, Becky Phillips. In case you missed last week's episode, WHER was a radio station started in 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee. WHER was started by a man named Sam Phillips, who started Sun Records and used the money that he got from selling Elvis Presley's contract to start an all-girls radio station. This radio station was housed in the third ever Holiday Inn in Memphis, Tennessee, before moving in the 1960s. Over the course of its 17-year tenure as a radio station in Memphis, the station was staffed almost entirely by women, from the general manager all the way down to the sales team, the broadcasters, and the engineers. The first man wouldn't have been hired at the station until the 1960s, and even then, a majority of the staff was women. The origin of how this station got its start is an absolutely fascinating one, and starts with one man, Sam Phillips, in a small town in Alabama in 1942. Sam Phillips was born in 1923 in Alabama, meaning he didn't start in Memphis, Tennessee. He took a job in broadcasting when he was fairly young, after his father passed away, because he had to help support his mother and his aunt. The radio station that he worked for was WLAY. WLAY was also where Becky Burns, the future Becky Phillips, worked as well. Before they even met in person, they'd heard each other's voices on the station, both of them being announcers. He even said that he fell in love with her voice long before he fell in love with her. This is the thing that I think is so special about WHER, is that ultimately, I believe it's a love story. Sam Phillips was by no means a perfect man, but he fell in love with his wife's voice before he even met her. And because of how much he loved her voice and how much he believed in her talent and her broadcasting ability, started a radio station where she would be able to broadcast and where she would be able to broadcast for 17 years there and on for 40 years before she would retire in the 1980s. You could almost say that Sam Phillips had an ear for sound, because not only did he recognize the potential and talent within his wife's voice, but he recognized this talent in all women and their potential to become broadcasters in major roles within their positions and their stations. He was also the one to recognize talent like Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash, helping them to gain their fame within the music industry. And he understood sound in his role as a broadcaster as well, which we talked about a bit last episode with how he came up with inventive ways to pre-record live music to then play on WLAY. He recognized the potential of more than just white men in the industry, giving people of color and women voices in the music and broadcast industries. They would go on to move from Alabama to Tennessee, where he would start Sun Records and then WHER in 1955, before he would pass away in 2003. As I said before, Rebecca Phillips, otherwise known as Rebecca Burns, was also working at this radio station in Sheffield, Alabama in 1942 when they met. Rebecca Burns was born in 1925 in Sheffield, Alabama, the same place where this radio station was. She was 17 in 1942 when she met Sam Phillips, and doing a program with her sister where they would sing and play music. She would describe when she met her future husband in the station. He had heard her voice, but they hadn't actually met in person until he came into the station one day when it was raining. She would describe him that day as he had wet hair and was wearing sandals, but still smiling. And he sat down on a bench next to her, and they just started talking. She went home that night and talked to her family, and knew that day that she was going to marry him. Sure enough, they got married in 1943, a year after they'd met at WLAY. They had two children, sons, Knox and Jerry Phillips, and they would go on to support each other throughout both of their future careers. Their children would go on to speak fondly of their mother, recognizing her talent in broadcast, even though she was never able to go to school for broadcasting. She had a recognizable voice and cared deeply for her family, not just for her broadcast career. She would support her husband and her sons throughout her 40-year career, even through hard times and struggles that they would go through in that period of time as well. While her husband was making a name for himself in the music industry at the time, Becky Phillips was making history all on her own. Arguably the matriarch of WHER, an all-female radio station in 1955 Memphis, Tennessee, held a number of roles for her in its time as a station over 17 years. Continue listening for more about Becky Phillips of WHER here on Feminist Frequencies. While Becky Phillips wasn't the general manager of WHER, that didn't mean that she didn't hold many important roles throughout the station's tenure. She would have had her own program on WHER, since part of the goal of the station was to give her and women like her a voice in the broadcast industry. But that's not all that she did. She also wrote scripts for other programs as well. She was incredibly organized. Even if she would have been described as quiet, she knew what she was doing and helped other people to learn as well. So, in her own way, she did help to manage the station. One particular thing that she managed was the music at the station. All of the music that was played on WHER went through Becky Phillips. One thing that we talked about last episode was the peculiarity in the music that was played. Not that it was strange necessarily, but the specific type of music that they played might have been surprising given who the founder of the station technically was. The station never played hard rock and roll. Instead, they played country and jazz. This was to soften the station to the general audience, so they wouldn't have played anything too controversial or anything that would have turned the audiences away from them because it was already a struggle with it being an all-women station. There was also no strong language allowed in the music that they played, so somebody had to go through all of the music that the station played and make sure that it was okay to go out to their general audience. Becky Phillips was the person who did this. She went through every album that they had and every song on that album and would have notes written next to all of the songs for whether or not they could be played, as well as for the tempos that the songs had as well. Not that they were specific time signatures, but they would have fast, slow, medium, those sorts of things as notes to tell the women when these songs could be played. She also kept all of the records that the station played even after she retired from WHER. She had the collection preserved for over 40 years. And when the Kitchen Sisters on NPR did a piece on WHER, they used Becky Phillips's record collection from her WHER days to play in the background of the broadcast, giving credit to all of the music that Becky had preserved over that 40 years. While WHER would become WWEE in the 1970s, that did not mean that Becky Phillips's career was over. She would continue to broadcast until the 1980s, but it's important to acknowledge the way that she and the other women of WHER changed the game for women in broadcasting forever. One thing I have yet to mention is how she always ended her broadcasts. She would always end them by saying, "A smile on your face puts a smile in your voice." This was also how she ended her final broadcast in the 1980s as well. She would continue to talk about women in broadcast, and specifically her experience at WHER and with her husband, for the rest of her life, before she would pass away in 2012. The story of WHER is one that might be described as poetry, because of what you might even say is a love story between Sam Phillips and his future wife, Becky, and how he heard her voice before he'd even met her and had already fallen in love with her, that made way for the first all-female station in 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee. This station, WHER, gave women in the broadcast industry a voice and the ability to create careers out of their voices. And this didn't just apply to the broadcasters. This also applied to the engineers, to the sales department, and to the women who managed the station, including Becky Phillips, as she was in charge of the music. WHER changed what it meant to be a broadcaster if you were a woman in the industry at the time, and gave voices to people who wouldn't have had voices without the help of Sam and Becky Phillips. Various organizations, including NPR and PBS, have all covered WHER's history, including in the documentary 1000 Beautiful Watts that PBS put out in 1998 that Becky Phillips was involved with. She was described on petergoralnik.com as a bit shy and nervous about being in front of a camera, but due to her experience with scripting and the power that was behind her voice, she was able to help document the history of WHER and how it has since impacted the industry. Then, after she passed away in 2012, Becky Phillips was appointed to the Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2013, along with Sam Phillips. Thus far on Feminist Frequencies, we've talked about women who, in the very early days of radio, got their start with ham radio, Morse code, and then broadcast, making them both some of the first women to broadcast in the industry, as well as technically the first women to be engineers within the radio industry. We've also taken a more journalistic approach to radio as well, with Mary Margaret McBride and her ability to tell stories and interview people on the air due to her experience in writing before she got into broadcast. Most recently, we've talked about both a station and a woman who helped to make way for many other women in the future to become involved with radio. This is WHER, the all-women station from 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee, and the woman that could really be credited with the idea for the station, Becky Phillips, the wife of Sam Phillips, who funded the station. Both she and this station would help to give women voices and promote women's voices in a time where women's voices weren't necessarily as known or as accepted within the industry. Continuing on with this theme, next week on Feminist Frequencies, we will be talking about Maxanne Sartori, who used her voice on the air to have an impact on the music industry. You've been listening to Feminist Frequencies. I'm Maggie Berner, signing off.